This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Once commonly found dancing over our fields, the monarch butterfly is in jeopardy. Its population has declined dramatically in the past decade. Later in the show, we'll talk about efforts underway to increase its habitat, including things you can do to make a difference. But first, the days are getting shorter, darker, and colder as we head into the winter, so what better time to think about sprucing up your house with some nice decorations for the holiday season? Joining us to talk about the importance of bringing natural materials into the home to brighten the dark days of winter and tell us some of the programs offered by the Civic Garden Center of Greater Cincinnati are horticulturist Bennett Dowling and volunteer coordinator and florist for the center, Jan Sims. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Bennett and Jan, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Hey, Mark, thanks.
Thank you.
On this wonderful, pretty day, it's still a great time to be thinking about brightening up your home with some natural materials. Mm-hmm. Bennett, start out by giving us some background about the Civic Garden Center of Greater Cincinnati and what its mission is.
Okay, well, the Civic Garden Center is a gardening resource. We are a nonprofit. We've been around since 1942, so we were founded to educate people on victory gardening. And we've continued ever since then with extensive classes. We have a library on site and then branched into community gardening in the 80s. And we've been strengthening that more since then. And we have about 67 gardens we work with in the city now.
It's a library on site, so it's a gardening library?
Yes, we do. And it's a lending library for volunteers. It is a reference library open to the public as well. And it's, I'd say, one of the best collections in the city for sure.
We'll talk some more about some of the programs that you offer later in the show. So for now, let's talk about the idea of using natural materials to decorate for the holidays. I really like the sound of that. You brought some examples of some of the materials that we're talking about, didn't you, Bennett? Can you talk about some of these things?
Yeah, our grounds are turning 90 this year. So we have a very established garden, and it is just as pretty in the winter as it is any other season. And that's the sign of a really well-done garden. So, you know, I kind of brought in some samples of different things. I think the, as you said, sprucing up the house for the winter, is important so that you don't get such sensory deprivation through the middle of winter. You get the scents, you get the textures. So I brought in a lot of things that, kind of depict that liveliness you can have indoors. Some of the evergreens we have, like, cedars and cypresses on the grounds are very soft and feathery, kind of a nice texture. They kind of dangle and look loose. But then it's nice to contrast that with real leathery, glossy leaves like the southern magnolia that has the velvety underside.
That's pretty.
Yeah, that's one of the most cherished plants for Christmas decoration. And it's probably one of the things we're most lucky to be able to grow here in Cincinnati. And then, of course, American holly and some of the other hollies that have those great red berries in the winter. However, you can get them in all different colors, not just red. So,
well, other than your own yard for finding greenery, what are some of the other sources that you can use to make these decorations?
Well, I'm really of the opinion that you really don't have to be clever. You just need to look around the house and see what you're not using right now. Having kind of grown up in the South, I have learned over many years that it's as important to decorate the outside of the house as you do your entryway or your foyer. And it's, like Bennett said, it's important to bring the outdoors in. So, you know, I'm of the opinion that anything that has really served you well over the summer and during the planting and harvesting season should really maybe get a little kudos or be honored during the winter months by, you know, for instance, taking your favorite shovel, putting it by the door and putting a great big red bow on it to show your thanks for all that it did for you that year. I like freezing things in ice. I think that there are really all kinds of possibilities there. We brought something today to show you, Mark, about freezing berries and foliages and branches in ice. And for those of your listeners that know about the Civic Garden Center, we're huge on upcycling and recycling. And the advent of the LED light has done wonders for decorating. And so what I've done here is frozen a cylinder of ice with berries and all kinds of sticks and things, red twig dogwood, and I've under that light, or under that ice block. I've put an LED light, which just has a, you know, you push it to turn it on and off. And something like this is a fantastic decoration for out on your patio, on your fence posts, maybe by the mailbox if you're expecting friends or family to come and visit. And it's a fantastic activity for kids during those cold winter months. I had a blast making this last night, you know, just figuring out the things that float or don't float, or, you know, how to push things down and further into the ice. And there's all kinds of ideas that you can do with this.
Okay, should we start doing ice puns right now? Like, that's really cool.
Well, you know, I know. I liken it to those giant popsicles that they make for the bears in the zoo, you know, with all the fruit frozen in them. It's kind of that idea, but having it lit from the bottom just makes it, you know, really kind of special. And it's again showcasing the season and finding new ways to honor the season and all of those things we worked so hard on during the growing season.
And just so listeners know, after the show, we will have pictures of all these items up on the WVXU website so you can see them. But this is amazing. It's a big I don't want to call it a block because it's not a block, but it's a big piece of ice with a lot of beautiful natural items in it. And how long will it take before that melts, Jen?
Well, I took this out of the freezer this morning, and I think Bennett ran it outside for just a cooling off before we came today. But I'm guessing it'll probably last indoors. You know, it would last through a pretty lengthy party or, you know, gathering of friends, outdoors indefinitely. So, and you know, you could use Osage oranges, you could use nuts in these, anything. And kids would have a blast discovering make shapes and things with that.
Was that fun to create?
It really was. And I started on it last night and I kept adding things and my cats helped me push some things into there. And yeah, it was a source of great interest in my kitchen last night.
And I think what's neat about it, something like this, and I think what's important about using natural materials is nothing's going to the landfill. You know, so obviously this is very transient. When it's done, it will be nothing left. And what is left, we can put in the compost area in the spring. It's not a matter of having, you know, silk garland that will stay in the landfill for 100 years when you're done with
right.
it. So, you know, and that's kind of, I think, the beauty of all this. You can repurpose it, reuse it somehow in the garden, you know.
I was thinking last night about all of all that is recycled in this specific arrangement. You know, the mold came from an old jar, a plastic jar that my husband gets something in. And so I, you know, trimmed that off, and that made the stand for the light. And I was thinking, gosh, what a fantastic way to empty your rain barrel. You could just line up jars and things and empty your rain barrel, put that water right into your cans or whatever, and there, you haven't wasted any water that you've tried to conserve, you know, towards the end of the season. So, like Bennett said, no waste.
So that sounds, Jan, like a lot of where the fun of doing this comes from, the creative side. Just put your imagination to work and see what kind of really interesting things you can come up with.
It's like your own challenge. You know, you can, you know, challenge yourself to find new ways to make this work.
Bennett, we're talking about using greenery, fresh greenery to do this. Can you talk about some plants that people should maybe be cautious with that might be poisonous or hazardous to pets?
Ooh, that one. Well,
I can help with that.
You might be better, Jan, because the only pets I have are houseplants and,
and you
some
have your cats.
Usual fruit flies in my kitchen.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we have a real zoo, so I'm very careful about what I bring into the house. But you know, for the most part, I will say this. You know, there are some plants that are considered toxic. The milky residue from poinsettias or the berries from poinsettias is considered to be toxic, but an animal would really have to ingest a lot of those berries or that foliage for it to do harm to the animal. I guess that's my old florist self talking, because I sure don't want to, you know, discourage anybody from using those beautiful plants, you know, like the Christmas cactus and cyclamens and some of the beautiful things that we bring in. You know, the best thing is to, you know, just don't put them in a tempting space. It's better to not display them on the floor, put them up on, you know, furniture or other places that are away from some of the animals And just be cautious. You know, think of it as if your animals are your babies, and you sure don't want your babies chewing up a Christmas cactus. How's that?
Definitely not. Good answer. Bennett, can you give some examples of the type of tools that someone would need to do these kind of things?
Just extreme brute strength, like I have, is wonderful.
We have bionic thumbnails.
I just pull a whole tree out of the ground and just work with
it. You don't need a shovel.
You know, really, just any kind of good sharp hand pruners are wonderful. Because you do want to be able to give everything a nice cut. You don't want to wound your plant to, you know, make nice decorations for the holidays. So any kinds of good sharp cutters, even just good kitchen shears or scissors are enough. And then I think my greatest key in the world is just nice florist wire, just wiring things together. The nice thing is if you're going to get rid of all the stuff, throw it in the compost, you can just kind of unwire it, loosen it up, and then recycle the wire. So otherwise, I don't really know of any big tools that I use. I mean, we do love some Oasis foam block. I mean,
yeah, we
can't
do
get enough
that.
Of that.
Yeah, we go through about a case every winter. But, you know, I think that it's really important to remember that even though you're making cuts on those plants, you know, for decorative purposes, you're still cutting into the plants. So, you know, good hygiene with your tools is of the utmost importance. If, you know, you for instance, as your last chore, for the summer, cut back some diseased plants. You need to make sure you put those away with some, you know, alcohol cleaning and making sure that they're nice and clean. And if you use them again with sappy things like pine, you know, sometimes even magnolia will leave a little bit of a residue on your cutters. Make sure to clean those before you take them out or before you put them away again for the season.
We'll continue our conversation about home decorating with natural materials after the break, and you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon, as we talk about the importance of bringing natural materials into the home to help spruce up your home for the holidays, our Civic Garden Center of Greater Cincinnati horticulturist Bennett Dowling and volunteer coordinator and florist for the center, Jan Sims. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jan, so far the big piece of ice is holding up very well. I'm impressed.
No puddle.
Yeah, that'll make me happy. I won't have to clean the table after you leave.
Yeah. So that's why we put that little stand down there so that'll catch any water.
And
so.
The LED light doesn't put out much heat, does it?
So it really doesn't, exactly. And I've got it in a little plastic baggie just to keep it kind of waterproof and secure down there. So.
And that the light on the base of that really gives it an interesting appearance on the bottom.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
It really does. Now, you brought something else, though, that is created from natural materials. This is great. Tell me about this.
I collect a lot of things in my office. You know, folks bring in things all the time, and I don't ever throw anything out, really. That they call it Jan Land. I guess that's okay. But I had some old rain boots or garden boots in my office, and I thought, you know, garden boots are everything to me in the summertime. I live in them, and you know, that's just one of those things that I think need to be made special in the winter time, and maybe sat out on the front stoop or next to the door as just a decoration. So what I did was I tied together a couple of wellies here and used a big burlap bow, and in it I put lots of grasses that actually came from our bioswale. Is that where they were growing? At the center, which is right along Reading Road. And Bennett Bennett and I have a great working relationship. He's outside all day, and he thinks of things that would be really neat to arrange, and I can put them together quickly. So he fuels me with berries and sticks and twigs and rocks and mushrooms and all kinds of things.
He's a supplier.
He is. He's, yeah. So he brought in these wonderful berries. I don't know what that variety is.
Winterberry holly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I just added...
It's very pretty. I really like that.
I added some of the redwood dogwood that I cut in the dark at home last night. But, you know, all of this is just a really good way of reinforcing the importance of having a winter cutting garden at home. You know, having some of the things that you really love to cut and bring in for decoration, different types of hollies, berries, grasses. The magnolia foliage is, you know, a must-have for a winter garden. Different types of cedars, junipers even, anything that you really love to see in decorations, grow it. You have to grow it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I always, this is from our, as Jan was saying, our bioswale and rain garden, which are fed with the water that runs off of our parking lot. So it's a very natural environment, and the fact that we don't have to put a lot of energy into it. And these are all native species of plants that just show how much beauty is in North America in the winter, and that it's such a wasted opportunity to think that winter is ugly and dreary. So, you know, I always tell people if you don't mind, you know, the cleanup in the spring, especially if you grow, you know, ornamental grasses, leave them up all winter. You have that beautiful amber color. It leaves areas for, you know, the critters to hide and get some little bit of warmth in the winter. And it's just such a missed opportunity to cut it down in the fall. And things like the winterberry holly are amazing because it is one of those rare hollies that actually loses all of its leaves to expose these berries for the whole winter. The birds don't eat them till February or March. They're just wonderful.
And we will have a picture of that up on the website as well. That's really neat. Do natural materials make for good Christmas tree ornaments?
Oh, yes. I think especially a great place to see that every year would be Crone Conservatory does their whole tree with natural ornaments. We do lots of great classes surrounding kind of working on centerpieces and wreaths and everything else using entirely natural materials. So I do think it's wonderful.
Right. Our greens gathering classes are coming up. And, you know, that's as much a celebration of the season as it is a class, you know, to learn how to do some of these things to bring indoors. We have lots of folks that come every year over and over to kind of make that celebration happen. It's a tradition for them. And we always have fresh bundles of greens, and every year it's something different. And the arrangements are just as beautiful and a little bit different every year.
Speaking of the classes, is there a communal nature around those, Bennett?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty neat. One thing, we have such a strong volunteer community that it works so hard to put these classes together with us. So even if they're not actually taking the class, they're making sure whoever does take it has a wonderful experience. And Jan can speak to that more since she works with the volunteers regularly. It's really a family atmosphere.
Right. I think it's important to as volunteer coordinator, I do two things. I make sure that things that need to get done around the center. But also, I take very seriously my job of making sure that it's an enjoyable experience for the volunteers and that they also learn something, something that maybe they can take home to their kids or their family members or neighbors and, apply in their own home, in their own yard or garden.
And if people want to find out more about the classes, how can they do that?
It's at civicgardencenter.org. Okay. We have an events and classes subheading, and it does lay out all of our classes for the next couple months.
There's a link to that as well at wvxu.org. What about making soap from natural materials as a gift or a decoration? Jan's squinting up like that.
My hot button. I am just nuts about some of the classes that we have that have to do with making you know, soaps or different salves or medicinal things from the garden. We have a soap making class coming up, and that is listed on our website. The young lady who teaches that class has taught quite a few classes for us, including one on making your own cleaning materials from natural organic products. And her name is Carissa. And she is from 7th Street Gifts in Newport, Kentucky. She knows her stuff, and some of the soaps that she makes include not only essential oils that are organic and certified in nature, but also she includes little pieces of maybe rosemary or basil or roses, and she really makes sure that she's got the whole package.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation, and let's speak with Liz from Middletown. Good afternoon, Liz. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi. This is just a little crazy comment, but there would be no other show that I could make this comment on, I don't think.
We have a reputation already.
I just love the show. I just want to say, this brought up memories of when I grew up, my family always got real Christmas trees, not artificial ones. Real Christmas trees, and they smelled so good. And when I was 16 years old, myself and three other girlfriends, oh, it smells so good, we just want to keep smelling it. But we have to go to class, so we each clipped off a little tip of a pine branch and taped it under our noses. We were the only four young women in town with green mustaches.
Oh, Liz, that's wonderful.
So good. I'm going to have to get myself one. I mean, in later years, I would get a live, like a small rosemary tree, and then maybe even plant it in the yard afterwards. And it smells so good.
Liz, thank you so much.
Thank you for having the show, because that brought up some really nice memories, and I can smell it now.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Much appreciated. You know, that is one of the advantages, isn't it, Bennett, of using natural materials.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in whether you are celebrating a holiday or anything, it's just an ancient tradition to be able to bring something alive into your house for the winter. It's so important to have that connection. And that smell, like Liz was saying, is pretty amazing. And she's someone that I would just love to come hug just for hearing that. That's a wonderful thing to hear, because I think so many people are missing that now in all times of the year.
But. And, you know, it creates that sensory memory. You know, we all remember what grandma's house smells like when there's cookies baking or a turkey in the oven. You know, this is another kind of sensory memory that you can give to anyone that comes to your home or that comes to visit. You know, having a little bit of rosemary that you sweep past, you know, a rosemary plant that you sweep past in the foyer, folks are going to remember that. You know, they might not be really conscious of it, but it's going to create a memory. And they're going to have a wonderful time at your home, and that's going to be part of that whole package of memory that they take with them through the years.
Jan, we're talking about doing this as we enter the cold days of winter, but is this something you can really do it year-round?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, anything that you grow in your garden, well, naturally, you can grow gardens just for, you know, cutting flowers and things like that. But we have a fabulous herb garden on the grounds, and Bennett has really, and the Herb Society, I have to give them a lot of credit. They have really made it beautiful in the last couple of seasons. And one really perfect example is after we have yoga classes at the center on Wednesday evenings, and after one of the yoga classes, I took the class to the scented geranium area of the garden, the herb garden, and let each person have a little piece of scented geranium to take home, which, you know, they just floated off to their cars. They were, you know, just tickled to death to have that, you know, sensory experience after this wonderful exercise. And I passed one of them as I was going down the street, and to kind of go back to Liz's call, I noticed one of them was pushing a little bit of scented geranium up her nose. So, you know, it's whatever it takes for you to enjoy it.
Bennett, here's the really important question to me, though. Am I going to be the envy of my neighbors if I do this?
Absolutely. no, I mean, I think so. You know, I think it's great not only to do it just because it's beautiful, but it's fun to push the envelope a little. And like Jan was doing, to kind of decorate something that people aren't used to seeing. It's just kind of, you know, it can be a dull time of year. You got to spice it up a little.
Sing it up.
Very nice. Thank you, Jan and Bennett, for joining me this afternoon. Civic Garden Center of Greater Cincinnati horticulturist Bennett Dowling and volunteer coordinator and florist for the center, Jan Sims. After the break, the plight of the monarch butterfly and the efforts underway to save it. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU, and you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100.
Support comes from the Miami University Hamilton Artist Series. Saturday, November 15th is your chance to experience the distinctive sound of Hunhortu, known as the foremost practitioners of the Central Asian art of humi, also known as throat singing. Saturday, November 15th, 7:30 p.m., Parish Auditorium, Miami University Hamilton Campus. Tickets at miamioh.edu/box office.
On the next On Being, discovering the cosmology of Bach with computer scientist Bernard Chazelle.
Bach would have never thought of himself as a maker of music. Bach saw himself, like Newton, not as the maker of a craft, but as a discoverer of the laws of the musical universe.
I'm Krista Tippett. Please join us. Sunday evening at 6 on 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati.
Support comes from Workflow Yoga, offering on-site tailored yoga classes, including chair yoga, at your place of business or special event. Workflow brings everything needed to transform your conference room into a stress-free yoga studio 1 hour at a time. More information at yogawhileyouwork.com.
For the first time, humans landed a spaceship on a comet, but it's the European Space Agency that gets to hog all the credit. No worries, though, America. They never would have thought to do it if they hadn't seen the movie Armageddon. I'm Peter Sagal. We also prefer Deep Impact, but we'll take what we can get on this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR. Saturday at noon and again Sunday at 3 on 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati.
A mischievous brother and sister search for food in a mysterious forest when their quest turns treacherous. CCM's main stage opera presents Hansel and Gretel, November 20th through the 23rd. Register at WVXU.org or WMUB.org to win a pair of tickets.